Hey, thanks for joining us. This is Lady V along with SD. We are She Talks, Spreading Hope Everywhere Talks, the podcast, where it is our goal to inspire hope. Today's topic, when God says go. If this is your first time with us, we are so glad you are here. You did not come across us by chance. Lady V and I are positive you will hear something that may speak to your situation,
yes,
or that of someone you know. So go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Also follow us on social media at We Are She Talks.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget to share with your friends. To our regular listeners, thank you so much
thank
for
you,
your support.
Thank you. God bless you.
If our content has blessed you in any way, head on over to our website, spreadinghopeeverywheretalks.com, and let us know. And or buy us a coffee. Again, we appreciate your support. So, Lady V, let's dive right in.
All right. So, today, of course, we are talking about when God says go. You know, God uses people who submit to his will,
mm-hmm,
to carry out a purposeful plan. And sometimes God can reveal to us an assignment that may not always seem logical at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in fact, you know, it may sound downright crazy,
mm-hmm,
but God will never tell us to do anything that he hasn't already prepared the way for it to be completed.
That's right.
Not only will he prepare you for its fulfillment, you know, but he will also go ahead of you and make the way prosperous.
That's right.
And just like God is perfect, so are his plans.
Mm-hmm.
So even if it doesn't make sense to our natural minds, we must remember to trust God in everything. You know,
mm-hmm,
obedience to God's go means that we have to walk by faith and not by sight.
That's right.
So let's look at the word of God in Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 20, where we find Ananias getting a call to go. You know, verse 10, it starts out, it says, "Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, 'Ananias.' 'Yes, Lord,' he replied. 'The Lord said, go over the straight street to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him in a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again.' 'But Lord,' exclaimed Ananias, 'I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And he is authorized by the leading priests to arrest everyone who calls upon your name.' But the Lord said, 'Go,
mm-hmm,
for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings as well as to the people of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake.' So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.'
Mm-hmm.
Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. Afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength. Saul stayed with the believers in Damascus for a few days, and immediately he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogue, saying, 'He is indeed the Son of God.'" So, you know, here we find God called on Ananias for an assignment to go pray for Saul.
Mm-hmm.
In the assignment, you know, it didn't make sense because Saul was a persecutor of Christians. You know, also it didn't make sense that God would want Saul to be a chosen vessel to preach Jesus because,
mm-hmm,
Saul was a tyrant toward believers in Christ. And the scripture even says he was eager to kill the Lord's followers.
Mm.
So in fact, you know, Saul originally had a plan to come to Damascus, you know, where Ananias was, to capture anyone that believed in Jesus because, you know, but because of his encounter with Jesus, you know, on the road to Damascus earlier, you know, everything changed for Saul. You know, he was converted, you know, to a believer in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And Saul went on to preach Jesus. And Saul became the Apostle Paul and one of the greatest known apostles in the history of the church.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you look at what we can pull from this story about, you know, when God says go. Mm-hmm. First of all, obedience to the call requires faith in God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ananias could not go on his knowledge about Saul. If he went on what everybody was saying about Saul, you know, he would have never went out and did what God told him to do.
That's right.
You know, he would have stayed in his place of fear and said, oh, I ain't doing that because that man trying to kill everybody that's a believer in Jesus. You know, I ain't about to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But Ananias knew he had to step out on faith and faith alone and what God was telling him to do, what the Lord was telling him to do.
Mm-hmm.
So obedience is a factor when God says go.
That's right.
Also, trusting God. Okay, trusting God means you must let God direct you where he wants, not where you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your part in God's plan means going into the unknown. You know, we don't get to control the conditions of the plan.
That's right.
And we have to remember that our life is tied to someone else's deliverance.
That's right.
You know, and Ananias was a vessel that the Lord wanted to use to deliver Saul from the tyrant that he was,
mm-hmm.
and then lay hands on him to not only for him to regain his sight, but I would even say that for him to be healed of that blinding of him spiritually, so that he could see that Jesus was truly Lord, and he was not the one he should have been, you know, going, you know, when he was persecuting the Christians, he was persecuting Jesus, because
mm-hmm.
when you're in Christ, you know, you are as he is,
mm-hmm.
and therefore, if someone does wrong to you, they're doing wrong to Jesus, too,
mm-hmm.
because we
mm-hmm.
are in the body of Christ.
That's right.
And so, you know, when Ananias allowed his trust in God to outweigh what he could not see past, you know, who Saul was,
mm-hmm.
then he could fulfill the assignment that God gave him to do.
Right.
So again, we can't control the conditions of the assignment, of the plan. We just have to go with it, you know.
Right, right.
And then third, you know, we have to remember that it's about God's plan,
mm-hmm.
God's way, and God's timing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God's plans, they're always good. The scripture tells us that, you know, his plans for us are good. So we don't have to worry about that no matter what it looks like.
That's right.
We don't have to worry about that. And we also cannot look at what it looks like, because that, again, involves faith.
Mm-hmm.
If you're walking by what you see, if Ananias had to walk by what he had heard about Saul, or what people were saying about Saul, or even if he had witnessed it, if he had went by that alone, he could have never saw Saul as a chosen vessel that God wanted to use to preach Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But because he realized that, you know, this is God's plan, I'm just going to do what the Lord is calling me and telling me to do. And when the Lord says to me to go, I'm just going to go ahead and do it.
Mm-hmm. Now, put it into perspective for this century.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's think about Hitler.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hitler was killing all the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
He hated them with a passion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what Saul was doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Put it in that perspective.
Exactly.
Now imagine being told, okay, you know Hitler kills all the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And you are a Jewish person, and God tells you, go lay your hands on him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the if you put it in that perspective, that's where Ananias was.
Mm-hmm.
He
mm-hmm.
like, Lord, you want me to go do what to
mm-hmm.
who and
mm-hmm.
when?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you know this man hates us.
That's right. That's right.
I just wanted to put it in that perspective
mm-hmm.
so that the listeners could get the weight
uh-huh.
of what that was mm-hmm. on Ananias.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, again, and it also goes to, you know, even today when believers, when we hear the Lord give us an assignment and he says, I need you to do this. Or let's say he says, I need you to go purchase this building. I want you to do something with it. And then if you go to the bank and they say, well, we can't fund this. We can't finance this. You know, you still cannot go on what they say and be, well, Lord, if the bank won't finance it, so it's no way I can purchase this business or this building. If the bank's saying no, when God says no, you're going to purchase this building.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go with what God says, because God sees the beginning and end. Again, God knows everything.
That's right.
So God is not limited to what man says or what man can do.
Mm-hmm.
God can surpass that because he is God. He's the creator of all. So God can move things and even position people in a place to where he can speak to them and say, hey, I want you to give this certain amount of money so that, you know, this person going to come to you and finance, and I want you to finance this building that with the person, because I got something to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense, we look at how God spoke to Ananias in a vision to speak. The Lord spoke to him in a vision to speak to him. This is what I want you to do. At the same time, you know, here was Saul praying, but he was also he had been given a vision as well ahead of time, mm-hmm. saying, okay, this man named Ananias is coming to pray for you. Mm-hmm. So that was a God, in a sense, preparing Saul, okay, a man named Ananias is coming to pray for you, and I'm sending him.
Right.
And then God showing the vision to Ananias, saying, I want you to go to this man named Saul because I want you to pray for him. Mm. God was working on both ends. Now, Ananias couldn't see that, because, you know, all Ananias could see what's right before him, the vision the Lord was showing him. Mm-hmm. But the thing of it is, God had already prepared the way. He had already made the ground fertile for Saul to receive Ananias as a vessel that God was using to come and deliver him from mm-hmm. his blindness. Mm-hmm. Again, it was not just natural blindness, it was the spiritual blindness that mm-hmm. Saul had. And in order for Saul to become the Apostle Paul to preach the gospel, he had to have all blindness removed, even that of what his tradition, what he had learned in the law of Moses, all that he had studied, you know, because mm-hmm. Paul, the Apostle Paul, well, he was Saul first, was well learned mm-hmm. in the law, of the Mosaic law. So, you know, he knew the law well to the T. I mean, he was a Pharisee, you mm-hmm. know. So, but being a Pharisee, he was blinded to what being a believer, being saved by grace, really meant. Mm-hmm. So Ananias showing grace by coming to pray for Saul also shows Saul that this was a believer who knew of him, but still did what the Lord said anyway. Mm-hmm. So that was him showing grace, even knowing that Saul had done these terrible things to other Christians. Ananias was showing grace by coming and laying hands on him to pray for him so that he would be healed and receive the Holy Spirit, so that he could be directed in his path of fruitfulness for the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we look at kingdom work, assignment work, if you are a believer in Jesus, you know, we have to always remember our sight in the natural is always going to be blinded to the spiritual realm mm-hmm. of what God has us to do. And, you know, and again, if you are not a Christian or believer, you know, you might be saying this sounds foreign to you. Well, the thing of it is, when you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, your assignment that God put you on this earth for is now ready to be fulfilled with the help of the Lord Jesus, with the help of his Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And without him, that assignment cannot be fulfilled the way God wants it, because you will always have that inner voice of your own and intellect trying to talk you out of it. Wherein if you have the Holy Spirit with you because you believed in Jesus, you have that voice of the Lord, you know, of the Lord speaking to you, saying, letting you know that this is of God. This may mm-hmm. sound crazy, but this is of the Lord. Mm-hmm. So go forth with it. Now, if you don't hear a confirmation from the Holy Spirit, then you know this ain't God here. Mm-hmm. But that's what the importance of having Jesus in your life, in your heart, because he can guide you through life, and everything you're meant to do in life, God can bring it to pass with your obedience and submission to his will. Mm-hmm. And he's not going to ask you to do anything that, you know, he don't already know what you need when you get there, what mm-hmm. you what how need who need to be in place. Now, not this is not to say that God can't speak to someone who does not have Jesus in their heart, because God has spoken to whoever he wants in creation. He
That's
can speak
right.
to the wind, the waves, he can speak to animals, he can speak to storms. It does not matter. Mm-hmm. But the thing of it is, when you're in Christ, when you have Jesus with you, there's that guaranteed success that no matter what God tells you to do, he already made a way for it to prosper. He already mm-hmm. made a way for it to be a success, so that again, it affects the lives of others.
Yeah.
The apostle Saul became the Apostle Paul, and what he ended up doing was writing all these books in the New Testament that really ministered to the church. It ministered to the non-Jews especially, mm-hmm. because that's who he was called to, those that were non-Jews basically. But he was also called to the Jews and the kings, but mainly those that were non-Jews, because he could reach them. I call him Paul because that's who he, you know, that's what he became. Mm-hmm. But he was well versed in the Greek culture and all different cultures, so he was mm-hmm. well learned. So he would be familiar with different belief systems that mm-hmm. the non-Jews had, so that he could kind of come to their level and relate to them when he would come to minister to them. Mm-hmm. And that's how we are to do today as Christians. When we speak to people, we have to realize our experience in life is what's going to minister to that unbeliever, mm-hmm. so that they can see that we can relate. We go through stuff too.
That's right.
What we have that extra additive is that we have the Lord with us, and he can help navigate our lives like a GPS does. does with a vehicle. Mm-hmm. If you're going off path, you know, that the Holy Spirit on inside uses like a GPS and said, reroute and we're going to get you back on track. Wherein, if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, it's like being out in a desert and you have no tracking to where to go next to find water. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Where with Jesus, he's the living water. So you going to have water wherever you go. You're going to have all sufficiency, full supply. So therefore, your assignment will always be fully supplied by God. If you have an ear to hear him, you can always be obedient to the steps which you have to take to do to carry out that assignment again, because our lives are linked to somebody else's deliverance.
Well, Lady V, what would you say to those who they grew up in church or they are believers, but they feel like, I'm not getting that all sufficiency. I don't see that in my life. What would you say to them?
Well, for one thing, we got to look to, okay, what have you been listening to? Mm-hmm. Have you been listening to your thoughts of lack? Or have you been listening to the word of God telling you of more than enough?
Come on,
because even if you out in the desert and your thoughts are saying there is no water and God is saying there's water in a rock over there, all you got to do is hit it.
No.
Who are you going to listen to? Are you going to listen to your thoughts telling you what your intellect knows? Or are you going to listen to God? And if God says wealth and riches are in your house, okay. Now, you might not see the stacks in the bank account right now. Mm-hmm. But who knows on your journey to do what God has assigned you to do, that there isn't a provision that is so great that you will see not only financial wealth, but health-wise wealth, family wealth, riches in family, riches in relationships, riches in knowledge and wisdom, how to run a business successfully, whereas somebody else will not have that knowledge or that wisdom. That's riches as well.
That's right.
You know, we can't limit it to financial, looking at where we live, because let's look at, the facts of things. You know, we here in the U.S., it could be somebody that's living in a trailer park. Okay, for us in the U.S., that's kind of like low on the totem pole. Not, not no disrespect, but the mansions and, in Beverly Hills, that seems like you made it. But let's take a look at, how that looks. A person could be living in a trailer, have good health.
Yes.
And, they might not have, $1 million in the bank, but they could have a strong family support. So if they become sick or down, they got family there that's going to help them. Where it could be somebody that's a multi-millionaire that's in a big fancy mansion, has no family, no friends, they get sick, nobody knows if they die in the house one day or fall and sick, because ain't nobody come to check on them. Know what I'm saying? Maybe the housekeeper may come at the end of the week or something like that, but that's still not family. That's still not somebody who would care enough to check on every day or every other day to see, are you good? You need
that's
anything?
Right. That's
so
right.
There's a difference of what you look about sufficiency and things being supplied, because God can supply things that some people may see like it means nothing. Let's look at people who have, they walk every day or they run, they jog in the park. Okay. They feel like, okay, I'm in pretty good health. I can run and jog and whatever, but they may never really look at the fact that they have a good set of feet that they can run. Whereas somebody else that may be born with a condition where their feet, if they stand on their feet, it feels like knives sticking in their feet and they can barely move and they need a wheelchair or their elderly mother to take care of them. When that person running and jogging in the park, don't know the riches of them having feet that they can jog in the park and run with. You know what I'm saying? A lot of stuff we may take for granted as being wealth for our lives or richness for our lives. You know, the little things, a person that, like I said, may live on Section 8, okay, could have plenty of food in their refrigerator. It may came from food stamp, but it's still food.
That's right.
And then it could be somebody on the street that's homeless that has absolutely nothing. They're looking through trash cans trying to find something to eat. Maybe they ain't ate in a couple, 2-3 days. Okay, who would you say would be filled with the riches? I mean, that person may be on Section 8 with food stamp food in the refrigerator, but to the person that's homeless, they are rich.
Yeah.
Because they have what they do not have.
That's
they have
right.
something to eat. They have a roof over their head. They have a bed to sleep in. They don't have to worry if somebody gonna steal their shoes while they laying under the bridge.
That's
or
right.
they laying in a cardboard box when it's freezing. So we have to really look at the blessings of God. No matter where you are, be content no matter where situation you are in, because the riches that you have in your life could not look like riches to you, but to somebody else who is without, it looks like you are rich. That's right. That's
so, you know, that's why we have to go on what the Word of God says. And sometimes the Word of God may not make sense to your situation. But if we look thoroughly, we really dig for the Lord in our situations and in our lives, we will see the goodness of God in everything and know that we are rich regardless if we have a mansion or we live in a trailer.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. And, you know, back to when we were talking about when God says go.
Yeah.
Even in health-wise or even like you were saying about, say, if somebody's staying in a trailer park or something like that, you know, if they have their connection to God, God can bring them out of the trailer park.
Yes.
God can say, okay, I want you to do this, this, and that. Mm-hmm. That's God saying go.
Mm-hmm.
Go do this.
Mm-hmm.
Go do that.
Mm-hmm,
and the next thing you know, they done moved out of a trailer into a house.
Yes. God
you know,
can do it.
God can do it because that's him saying go.
Mm-hmm.
So when we say when God says go, that means God's direction.
Uh-huh, his,
following his direction, his instructions.
Yep.
That's him telling you to go, when to go, how to go, where to go, who to talk to.
And that goes along with a note I have, you know, jotted down as, you know, this, you know, something how the Lord works because you sent by his instruction. I had a note that I just jotted down that we may think that the instructions are futile, but they are what direct our paths towards fruitfulness.
That's right.
You know, so in a sense, it's like, you know, like you said, that instruction from God, that go from God, do this, do that, you know, is what leads us in the path of the fruit of the blessing that he has in store for us. You know, and like I said, just because, you know, you're in a trouble, like you said, don't mean you're going to stay there.
That's right.
If you believe in God, you said, God, I want more. Okay, he's going to give us the desires of our hearts. He knew when he created you, you were going to want more for your life. You might want to get off Section 8, and he was like, okay, well, I can help you do that. You know, you might have a pile of debt. You're like, I don't know how I'm gonna pay this. He was like, I can help you.
Yeah.
You know, that to get rid of that debt completely.
Mm-hmm.
But you just have to be open to his leading, his direction, to his go, to his do this or do that. Whether it makes sense or not, you know, you just do it. And
that's
you know, and I just think that relates to our life, like you said today, so much because we can get instruction from God, and just because somebody else might say, nah, that ain't gonna work. You shouldn't. I mean, we might stop at that. Well, yeah, they right. And they're going to convince you and talk you out of your blessing.
That's right.
Because God is saying yes, and somebody else might say, that ain't going to never work. You know, you have to go with God every time.
That's
right. You know, whatever God instructs, whatever he tells you to do, you got to go with it every time. And that's why we, you know, we live by the word of God because, you know, we find out by God's grace is sufficient in everything. Why? Because grace is there to meet us in every situation. And because of that grace, grace and truth comes by Jesus Christ. Because of that grace, we will always be lightened. Our path will always be lightened to the truth. Or which way to go.
But one thing you have to do,
you
have to trust him.
You have to. Absolutely.
You have to allow him to lead you. If you are determined to do it yourself, he's going to let you.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
He's going to let you, and then you're going to toil, be frustrated, get, I mean, all types of sicknesses and disease on your body that comes from stress.
Yes.
You know? So that's why you have to just give it over to him. Now, again, if you want to do it yourself, he's going to let you do it yourself.
Absolutely.
It said God never sleeps or slumbers. But one thing he's not going to do is get in your way.
That's right. He ain't gonna make you do nothing.
He ain't gonna make you do nothing.
He gonna instruct you. You either take it or leave it. If you don't take it, he said, well, I just let you do your own thing.
That's
then.
Right.
Watch you truckle and find out your way is not the best way.
That's right.
Because God knows everything. And I just wanna make this analogy too about how, or well, make this point about how when people get in relationships, you know, God could be saying, that's not a good fit for you. But that person could be hearing their family and friends say, you know, assets wise, this person has a great financial portfolio and all of this, and they would fit so well with you and on your side, and you know, and they would look good to the public. You know, you're in the public eye, you need someone that is going to look good in the public. But God could be saying, that person is not the right person for you.
That's right.
You 10 years from now, you could end up needing somebody that's going to have a heart to care for you. And this person going to be the person that's going to leave you high and dry.
That's
say,
right.
You know, pull the plug, pull the cord. They ain't going to be a praying person that's going to say, no, we're going to leave them on life of support until the Lord says.
Yes.
You know, so let the Lord speak in this situation. And that could be the person that pray you out of that coma or whatever. But if you get with somebody and you're basing it on your logic of financially, this person's the right fit for me. And the other person, they don't have a job right now, or they, you know, they're doing this and they don't have the right income right now. Their credit is bad. If you go on all of that outward stuff, you're going to miss the inward of the heart that God is looking at that says this person got the right heart to fit your life.
That's right.
And it's not about what assets they, what, you know, financial stability. It's not about, now, I'm not saying you don't want to have a partner that you together can grow and have financial stability so you can live a comfortable life. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying don't base it on that alone, because you could miss a lot of good people, or you could miss the right person that God says, this person is best for you. Mm-hmm. This person is stick by your side no matter what, whether you got everything or you give it, if I tell you to give it all away, they're going to still be by your side, wherein someone else could be about all about the money and the prestige, and then they'd be the one that leave you high and dry if you lost everything. You know what I'm saying?
And another thing about that, mm-hmm. when you trust God about it, mm-hmm. when God tell you that person is for you, uh-huh. that's his best for
that's
you.
His best.
He is not going to lead you mm-hmm. to someone, because mm-hmm. we have to remember, God mm-hmm. sees the whole picture.
He sees the whole picture.
He is all knowing. Mm-hmm. God sees the whole picture. Mm-hmm. So by him seeing the whole picture, just again, like Lady V said, mm-hmm. just because friends and family and colleagues are saying this person is right for you. Mm-hmm. If God says, nope, mm-hmm. that person is not right for mm-hmm. you, mm-hmm. I want you with this person over here. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You better listen
to what God, that's right, to what God is saying. Because a person could put on a face, and mm-hmm. God again knows the heart, just like God knew the heart of Saul. Mm-hmm. He knew that if Saul was when he had that encounter with Jesus, that was going to change him. That was going to make him really realize that Jesus is real. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not just somebody that people are believing in, and he's not some, you know, false, you know, heretic going around. He is truly the Son of God. And God knew that Saul would be obedient, had a heart to be obedient and be just on fire for him as he was when he was Saul against right. him. He'd be on fire for him as Apostle Paul, mm-hmm. just as he was on fire for him as Saul. And, you know, it just makes so much of a difference to pay attention to God's goal.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as we close out, you know, we want to pray and then pronounce a blessing on all those that are listening, because we know it is not by chance, it's not by mistake that you tuned in and listened all the way through. I mean, some people just listen a little bit and they mm-hmm. say, oh, this is not for me. But for those that listen to the entirety of the message, there was something in it just for you.
That's right.
So that either you're in that place where God is saying go and you're hesitant, or you're about to come into that place mm-hmm. where God is going to tell you to go and it's not going to make sense. So whatever the case may be, this was for you.
That's right.
So tonight we just want to pray that in the name of Jesus, God, that your goals to whoever is listening, God, will be such a resounding gong in their ears that they just cannot even sleep, that they know they are hearing from you mm-hmm. and that they will walk in obedience and total trust in who you are, God, that you are a faithful God and you are mm-hmm. not a God that does anything without a purpose. So we thank you, Father God, for all that are listening, even those that may not know you, Lord, yet. We pray that they will have an experience with you, Jesus, and that when they do, they will open their hearts to you, Lord, mm-hmm. knowing that you are knocking on the door of their hearts saying, you know, allow me to come in and live and be with you in a way that I will help you navigate through this life.
Yes.
And so you will have the Father's best for your life. Mm-hmm. So we pray, God, that they will accept Jesus into their hearts, those that do not know him. And God, for those that do know him, that they will just continue to trust, stay in your word mm-hmm. and be mindful to your goals, God.
Yes.
And I thank you, Father God, they have an ear to hear, a heart to obey, and God, and a mind to just trust in not what they see, but in what you say, God.
Yes.
And our blessing, and we pray that in Jesus' name, and our blessing on today is that may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation. Grace and peace to you.
If you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe so that you can stay plugged in into another hope-filled discussion. For this week's show notes, go to spreadinghopeeverywheretalks.com/S2E4. While you're there, follow and like us on social media. Sign up for my SD's list of 10 must-read books for positive outlook, spiritual enlightenment, and brain health. Check out Lady V's weekly devotional episodes. And if you like merch with positive messaging, go on over to our online store. Join us next time on She Talks, Spreading Hope Everywhere Talks, where we are letting our light shine through faith, hope, and love.